Father, come before you this evening. We remember a great former president, Ronald Wilson Reagan, and we thank you, Lord, for his leadership in our country. We thank you, Father, for his values and principles that he brought to this nation. We pray that our nation truly might be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I do want to pray for our current president, President George W. Bush, that your grace might be upon him, your wisdom, your power, your strength, Father. And Father, I pray that liberty and freedom might continue in this nation. Protect us from terrorism. Protect us, Father, from anything that will harm us as a nation, Father. And help us as believers to continue to make an impact in our country by taking in your Word of God, taking in the Word of God on a regular basis. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those assembled here this evening. We pray that you might provide blessing for them as they receive with humility your word. Help me to make the word clear, Father, tonight. Make it accurate, cut it straight, and may it give you honor and glory. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 9. We are looking here in verse 9 and following. Paul is continuing his argument on justification by faith, giving two Old Testament examples of that, Abraham and David. Now he switches back here to Abraham, and he argues that justification by faith is not only for the Jews, but also for Jew and Gentile. And Abraham was justified by faith before circumcision. Two important points. Abraham was justified by faith before circumcision, and Abraham was justified by faith long before the giving of the Mosaic Law. So justification does not come by any external rite. We can carry that over today to baptism. Any external rite, such as circumcision or baptism, does not declare one righteous or makes one righteous. And also, the Mosaic Law does not justify. Because here we have a man who is justified by faith nearly 500 years, over 500 years before the law was given. Romans 4:9. Comes this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now he refers to the previous verse of the blessedness that David quoted. Blessedness, verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Because an individual has believed in Christ, he has imputed righteousness. Therefore, his sins were imputed to Jesus Christ. And God will never, ever impute sin to you again. And here he says, is this just for the Jews? The circumcision was mainly descriptive of a race of individuals, the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision. And he says, is this exclusively for the Jews only, or also the Gentiles, the uncircumcised? But he says here, faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So is this reception of divine favor, the word blessedness, as we learned last week, you are a recipient of divine favor. Does this reception of divine favor, specifically God not imputing our sins to us, only for the circumcised, the Jews, or for the uncircumcised, the Gentiles? Now the word say there means to affirm or maintain. He said, well, we affirm, we declare. Lego is the Greek word here. We maintain and declare that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Of course, Abraham was justified by faith, not according to anything he has done. Verse 10 asks the question then, how then was it reckoned? Why, he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? At what point in Abraham's life was he justified by faith? Before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? And Paul is a master when he argues these things. He says, Abraham was justified by faith before he was circumcised. See? That's what he says here. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. We see that Abraham was justified in Genesis 15:6 before he was ever circumcised. He was circumcised in chapter 17, verse 24. So we have 14 years later, Abraham underwent circumcision. 14 years before Abraham was circumcised, he was declared righteous by faith. So what does that say about the rite of circumcision? The rite of circumcision has nothing to do with a declaration of righteousness. It has nothing to do with justification by faith. Now, let's take a look at the chronology of Abraham, and I have this, and you don't worry about writing it all down because I'll pass out a copy of this at another time. But look here, a little summary of Abraham's life. Of course, when Abraham was 75, he departed out of Haran, and the Lord told him to go to the land he will show him. And Abraham left there by faith. And it was probably at that time that Abraham was justified, even though the renewal of the covenant in Genesis 15:6 was given. We can translate Genesis 15:6. Abraham already believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness previously. But he believed God as well when God renewed the promise to Abraham when he was 85. So let's even say at the point of 85 that was his justification by faith. Well, here we have not until he was 99 years old did the rite of circumcision was given. The reaffirmation of the covenant was given when he was 99, and the promise of a child when he was past age, when it was impossible physically for him to have a child. His body, as Romans described later, was dead, sexually dead. He was in sexual death. His body wasn't able physically to reproduce, but God energized his body. Abraham believed the promises of God, and he used circumcision as a rite to show that Abraham already was justified by faith. But Abraham was justified by faith 14 years before the circumcision. The rite of circumcision was given. So justification by faith has nothing to do with circumcision. Now he received, verse 11 says, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. See? Think about that. He was uncircumcised up to the point to where he received the rite of circumcision. See? So he's uncircumcised before the point to where he was circumcised. And so that demonstrates that he is the father of not only the circumcision, the Jews, but of all who believe the uncircumcision in a spiritual sense. Here, circumcision as a sign or seal was an outward token of the justification Abraham had already received. See, it was just an outward sign. A similar rite today would be baptism. Water baptism would be an outward sign of an inward reality that has already taken place. See, this is what the baptismal regeneration crowd needs to understand. They need to look at Abraham and see before any rite was given. And by the way, they equate circumcision with baptism. And if they do so, they need to look at Abraham's life. It was 14 years later that he was circumcised after his justification. See? So that was simply a sign that Abraham was already declared righteous by faith alone. And so Abraham was justified by faith alone in the promises of God. When God declared Abraham righteous, the patriarch was uncircumcised. See? He was not circumcised at that point. In one sense, we could say he was a virtual Gentile. Now imagine the Gentiles were glad hearing this. Abraham was uncircumcised when he was declared righteous. So he forms the pattern of the Gentiles who were uncircumcised, who could be justified by simple faith in the gospel. Now Paul says here, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Now, there are several senses in which we have a father. Of course, when we become Christians, when we're born again, God is our father. And in the deepest sense, he is our heavenly father. But Abraham, in one sense, is a father to those who believe. He is a pattern, both to Jew and Gentiles. Those who believe includes everyone, Jew and Gentile, who places faith in him. And so he's a pattern not only for the Jews who believed in the promises of God, but also for the Gentiles. Paul says that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So Gentiles can have imputed righteousness equally as well as the Jews. Now, the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Now he talks about not only being the father of the Gentiles who believe, but here he's the father of the Jews who follow Abraham's example. Now you remember when Jesus told the Pharisees, "Your father is the devil, because you do the things of your father and the works of your father." So the Pharisees did not pattern Abraham. They did not follow Abraham's example. This is what Paul is saying. For those circumcised, those Jews who are physically born, who want to claim Abraham as their father, they need to exercise the same faith Abraham exercised in the promises of God. And the Pharisees didn't do that. Oh, they were proud of their outward rite of circumcision. They were proud of their physical lineage from Abraham. But internally, they were not justified. They were not declared righteous. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse 37. John 8, verse 37. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me." They were Abraham's physical seed, but not spiritual seed. See? "Because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We be not born of fornication," with the hint that they thought they didn't understand the virgin birth. They thought Jesus was born from an illegitimate relationship. But he wasn't. He said, "We're not like you. We're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." See, they would be modern liberals today. The fatherhood of all, and the universal brotherhood of mankind, and the fatherhood of God of all. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceed from and come from God. God sent his Son into the world. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. He, in the lust of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth," look at this, "you believe me not." See? They didn't pattern Abraham in that sense. They may claim Abraham as their father, but they didn't pattern the faith of Abraham, and so their father spiritually was Satan, the devil. So Paul here is speaking again to the Jews, and he says, the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps of that faith of that father, which have been yet uncircumcised. Abraham lived by faith even before he was uncircumcised. Abraham, following the steps of Abraham, Abraham had a lifestyle of faith. He believed in the promises of God. In many occurrences, Abraham lived by faith. And that was before he was circumcised. Excuse me, not uncircumcised, before he was circumcised. Now, verse 13 says, the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. Now, in these few verses, he will argue not only that Abraham was justified before he was circumcised, but Abraham was justified by faith way before the giving of the Mosaic Law. So an external rite, circumcision, has nothing to do with your justification. Neither does the Mosaic Law, because Abraham was justified before the giving of the Mosaic Law. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. That promise, the dispensation of promise, was not through the Mosaic Law. Long before the law was given, I will multiply your seed, Abraham, as the stars of heaven. And Abraham amen God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. He says it wasn't through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The dispensation of promise and the dispensation of the Mosaic Law are two separate dispensations. And Paul argues that later on in the book of Galatians, how Galatians chapter 3, that the two dispensations are separate. The law came alongside the promise, but did not nullify the promise of God. The dispensation of promise was long before the giving of the Mosaic Law. Abraham was justified 645 years before the law was given. Here, Abraham's departure from Haran, 2091 B.C., and the giving of the law was in 1446 B.C., so you subtract those two, and you come to the figure of 645 years before the law was given, Abraham was justified by faith. So the law had nothing to do with the promise. Nothing to do with the promise. Nothing to do with justification by faith. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law. Here it says, we're going to look at this, 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The law that was given 430 years later could not cancel out the promise. The law did not abrogate or nullify the promise of God. Verse 18 says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. The inheritance is not by the law, it is by the promise, the dispensation of promise. And the law did not nullify the promises of God. Now, you may ask a question. Paul says here that the law was given 430 years later, when we have previously stated that it's 645 years later. Why is there a so-called discrepancy? There's really no discrepancy at all between those two verses. Now, we'll back it up. Take a look in Galatians chapter 3. And we'll find out that what he's referring to here, when you look at Galatians in detail, notice how the text reads. Galatians 3, verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God. All he says here was the covenant that was confirmed. Now, do you know that covenant was confirmed several times? It was issued to Abraham, then reissued to Isaac, reissued to Jacob. So that covenant was given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and then finally in Genesis 46, verse 2 through 4, take a look at that passage in Genesis 46. This is what Paul refers to, the final ratification of the Abrahamic covenant. In And this is the final ratification of Jacob as Jacob moves to Egypt. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob, he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for there I will make of thee a great nation. One of the tenets of the Abrahamic covenant, that your name will be great. I will form from you a great nation. So he's quoting what he quoted to Abraham years ago. I will go down with thee into Egypt, verse 4, and I will surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And so he reaffirmed that covenant there, and the date was 1876 B.C. Think about the Wild West in 1876. And I think of the invention of the telephone was in 1876 at the World's Fair, Centennial Fair, the 100th year of our country. But here is 1876 B.C., before Christ, that the covenant was finally confirmed. The covenant was ratified. And verse, so Galatians 3:17 refers not to the initial giving of the covenant to Abraham, but to the reaffirmation and the final affirmation to Jacob before the slavery in Egypt. So if you count from that point, 1876 B.C. to 1446 B.C., you have exactly what Paul says here in Galatians 3:17, 430 years later. Exactly. So we're talking about two separate time periods here. But if you want to view it as Paul does in Galatians 3:17 with the final ratification, 430 years later, if you want to go back to Abraham's initial justification, 645 years earlier, the point is, he was declared righteous long before the Mosaic Law was given. Now verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. If you say only those who are of the law is heirs, faith is useless. What's the point of faith? All you need to do is keep the Mosaic Law to be justified. See? Faith is empty. It has no point, no purpose. And then the promises are canceled out, nullified. They're made of none effect. But as Paul says in Galatians 3:18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. See? If the inheritance is of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. So law and promise here are mutually exclusive. You have a line of demarcation between the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of the promise. Now the promise continued alongside the law. See? Of course, the dispensation of the Mosaic Law began, but the promise was still in effect, even when the Mosaic Law was in effect. But the promises ultimately pointed to the seed, which is Jesus Christ. That was part of the Abrahamic covenant, the promised Messiah. And Abraham looked forward to that promised seed, which was Christ. So Galatians chapter 3, look at Galatians chapter 3 once again. And Paul states that the seed was Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians 3:16. This is a great passage, even as John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 are all gospel passages. Galatians 3:16 is a gospel passage. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, and to seeds as of many, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed singular, which is Christ. See? The promise ultimately looked forward to, Abraham and your seed shall all the nations be blessed. And you know what? It was through the one seed in the line of Christ, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross, that all the nations would be blessed. And as Abraham heard those words, he believed in the future coming Messiah. And as Gentiles hear these words today, they believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as personal Savior, and they are justified because they follow the same pattern as Abraham did long before the giving of the Mosaic Law. So the promise ultimately looked forward to the promised seed, the Savior, who would bring the gospel, all the nations would be blessed in the gospel. Notice, look at Galatians 3:8 as well. Galatians 3, verse 8. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. See, the gospel was given to Abraham. What was that gospel? In thee and you shall all nations be blessed. See? And your seed. Your seed singular, which is Jesus Christ, all nations, not just the nation Israel. And this is what the Jews needed to hear. Not just Israel. But that promise made to Abraham, the forefather of the nation Israel, was for all the nations to be blessed through the coming seed, through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. To introduce law-keeping as a condition for the fulfillment of the promise would have two effects. First, it would make faith irrelevant. You need to ask some individuals who believe in the keeping of the Mosaic Law and say, isn't faith irrelevant? Of course it would be. If you're justified by keeping the Mosaic Law, what's the point of faith? It would subject this simple unconditional promise to the condition of human obedience. See? Your justification will be based on keeping the law, obeying the law. If, for example, a father promised his son a new bicycle, the boy will look forward to receiving it as a gift. However, if the father added the condition that to get the bike, the boy had to be obedient, he would destroy his son's confidence that he would get the bike. Now, obtaining the bicycle depended on obedience. It was no longer a matter of faith. The second effect, which is also evident, is this illustration, is that the promise would be nullified, made worthless, because it's conditioned. It's not unconditional. So, faith is made empty or void if you're justified by the law, and the promise is canceled out. People don't understand what they're saying when they say that you need to be justified by the law. They're canceling out the necessity of faith and the promised Savior. And by the way, think about this. If you can be justified by keeping the Mosaic Law, the promise looked forward to who? Jesus Christ. Then Christ was not necessary. Think about it. Christ's coming was not necessary. If you can be justified by the law, there was no point in the promise. There's no point in Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Just keep the dispensation of Mosaic Law rolling infinitely. Try to obey that. So, Christ came, and the law was simply a child tutor. That's what Galatians 3:24 says. Galatians 3:23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, the Jews, shut up unto the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was, notice, was, past tense, not now. The law was, historically, are the Jews' schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, the object of faith, Jesus Christ, we are no longer under a child leader, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul argues in Romans 4 that Abraham was justified before the Mosaic Law by faith. And Paul in Galatians 3 says, after Christ has come, you are justified by faith in Christ, not by the Mosaic Law. So before and after. There was never a time when anyone, Old Testament saint, New Testament saint, millennial, tribulation, when anyone was ever justified by any other means except through faith. So Paul, as a master, argues this. And he says here, what happens if you try to be justified by the law produces wrath. It works wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. See? You know, this is like you go up into some place, I think it's Montana, some area, stretch of road, no speed limits. And technically, if there is no speed limit, then the police can't pull you over if you're going 120. There's no law. Where is there a violation of law? See? Where there is no law, there's no transgression. See? So the law, though, produces wrath. If the law is there and you have a speed limit, you cross that speed limit, then you suffer the consequences. Here at verse 10 through 13. In Galatians chapter 3, for look at this. You want to be justified by keeping of the law? You're under a curse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why is that? Because no one can keep it perfectly. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things. You can't pick and choose as many people do today. Bits and pieces, your favorite part of the Mosaic law. I'll keep the dietary regulations. Well, what about this? No, you can't pick and choose. You've got to continue in everything. You say, well, what if I keep 9 out of 10 commandments and fail on one? You're under a curse. What if I keep 612 out of 613, fail to keep one? You're under a curse. What if I keep all the law for only 1 year and fail the second year or the 10th year of my life? You're under a curse. That's the point. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith, not by the law. And the law is not of faith. That's clear. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. See, some people say, well, of course, you know, you need the law and faith. We're not excluding faith, but we have to add faith to the law. They don't mix. See what Paul's saying here? You can't mix the two. It's either faith or the law. You can't mix, well, faith plus the law. See, the Galatians were trying to add faith. Yeah, well, it's faith in Christ, but it's faith plus circumcision. No. And Paul was upset in Galatians. He said, that's another gospel. If you add faith in Christ plus water baptism, faith in Christ plus church attendance, faith in Christ plus making Christ Lord, any of those things, you are nullifying the promise, canceling it out. You can't add anything to it. See? The law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Mosaic law said this, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. See? He became our curse. And so we're not under the Mosaic law. We're justified by faith. And people today that want to emphasize the keeping of the Mosaic law for justification or for sanctification, and they say, this is just the highest form, and this is, and that, and that. Well, the law is holy, but the problem is man's sinfulness. How did Abraham ever produce righteousness? Not only was justified by faith, but lived by faith. How was that possible before the law was given? See? Abraham was a righteous man before God, and he didn't live under the dispensation of the Mosaic law. So could it be possible, using a little bit of sarcasm, could it be possible that today in the church age we live by the law of Christ or the law of love, His commands that He gave in the Upper Room Discourse, and not by the Mosaic law, And we could be righteous by believing in Christ, plus have imparted righteousness as we live by faith apart from the law. See, people want props to lean on. And when you tell them you're not you're under the Mosaic Law, I think you're lawless, and they'll condemn the gospel that you preach. But we'll see that we got to go back to the Scriptures and use the Old Testament Scriptures to demonstrate Abraham being justified by faith. So the law brings wrath. A person may still be sinning in his action. He didn't say, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, where there is no law, there is no sin. And you say, well, what's transgression? Well, transgression is a sin, but it's transgression is a violation of a standard. See? When you violate a standard, you transgress. You sin. A person may still be sinning in his action, but there is no command prohibiting it. His action does not have the character of a transgression, meaning an overstepping of a prohibition. That's what transgression means. In Romans chapter 5, verse 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Sin's not imputed when there is no law. Now, we already looked at Galatians 3, verse 10 through 13, and we saw that you want to keep the law, you're under a curse by not doing all the things that are written in the law. Verse 16, therefore, Paul comes to a conclusion. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, the father of the Jews and the Gentiles. Grace and faith are completely compatible. You want to know what's compatible with unmerited favor? Not circumcision, not baptism. Faith. Why? What's grace? Undeserved favor. What's faith? Simply believing in the promises of God. See? We believe in the promises of God, and that was His promised Son, Jesus Christ. As Abraham believed in the future promised Messiah, we also believe in the promises of God, and we simply amen those by faith. That's all faith is. And that's totally in harmony with grace, unmerited favor. But it's funny how people try to use the word grace and blend in works, blend in ritual, blend in some kind of rite, and they try to mix grace with that, and it doesn't work. Faith and grace are the only two things that are compatible. So faith being simply undeserved, or faith simply means trusting another. Grace is undeserved favor. So it is of faith that it might be by grace. What's the result of that? There's another thing he says here. To the end that the promise might be guaranteed to all the seed. Now, if it was based on human dependence, the Abrahamic covenant, by the way, was an unconditional covenant. Unconditional. The Mosaic Law was a conditional covenant. Here it says, the promise might be guaranteed to all the seed. Now, if it was by the law, and he had failure, then the promise would not be guaranteed. It's based on a human element. But since it's based on God's integrity, Abraham amen God, because God made a promise. It wasn't based on human conditions. And Abraham simply believed God's promises. It was based on keeping the Mosaic Law that would cancel faith, because you can't keep the Mosaic Law. Here it says the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those which are of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So the gospel has universal appeal to the Gentile as well. The law could not cancel out the promise in Galatians 3:17-18. Law cannot void out the promise of God. Take a look at that here. We said here, this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God, the law which was 430 years later, could not cancel out, that it should make the promise void. Exact the same thing Paul is saying here in Romans 4. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So law and promise are mutually exclusive. The promise might be guaranteed to all the seed. If faith is based on promise, then it is guaranteed by God and it is certain. If it is based on law, then it is up to man and not secure. See? It's based on man's conditional keeping of the law. Then it can't be secure. And aren't you glad it's based on the faithfulness of God? And that's really what the gospel is when you think about it. As Abraham looked forward to a future seed, he says, I can't do nothing. And so even his physical body got to the point to where he was impotent, and it would have to be all of God. That's grace. And so you say, how can I pull myself up by my own bootstraps? I'm a sinner. How can I be declared righteous? It's based on the faithfulness of God. And God is faithful in sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And He gives eternal life to all who simply believe in Him. So we have eternal security. What Paul is really saying here is, because it's based on the promise, we have eternal security. It is secure. And it is made available to all the seed, both Jew and Gentile. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Abraham was a father not only of the Jews, but a father of nations, plural. So ultimately those promises would include the Gentiles, wouldn't they? The promises made as a father of nations, plural. Galatians 3:8-9. Let's take a look at Galatians 3:8-9. Let's get here. You can look in the Bible to verse 9. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, plural. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. Abraham and Sarah would have a son, a promise, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. That he would be the ancestor of many nations seemed impossible in his and Sarah's childless old age. That's what the second part of this verse is saying. Even God who quickened the dead, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God, he believed God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. He quickened the dead in the sense he quickened Abraham's dead body, first of all. Look at Romans 4:19. Romans 4:19, Paul say, and not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Notice that. Sexual death. His body was incapable of reproducing a child. He was sexually dead. Not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Way past menopause. Sarah was way many years past menopause. And so God miraculously, literally, quickened the dead. Physically, in a sense, in Abraham. But there's a spiritual sense also. We believe in God who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Another seemingly impossible thing. God quickened the dead in His Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 4, verse 24, notice this. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, that's righteousness, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Abraham believed in God who quickened the dead, his own dead body. We believe in God who quickened Jesus Christ's dead body. And He raised Him from the dead. And so that's the gospel, faith and Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. God who raised the dead. And so God also calls those things which be not. You look physically at Abraham's condition, you say, it's not there. The capability of producing a child is not there. But God calls those things which be not as though they were. He did that in creation. He created the universe out of nothing, didn't He? Ex nihilo, a Latin phrase, out of nothing. God, by His spoken word, created the universe out of nothing. What about a sinner who's spiritually dead? A sinner who's spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, God can make a new creation out of that spiritually dead person. As He created the universe out of nothing, He can make a new creation in Christ Jesus by believing in the spoken word as well, the living word, the word of the gospel, as Paul states in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So just like Abraham, God quickens the dead, and He calls those things which be not as those that were. And we're going to stop here this evening, the perfect point to break off, but we learned here, as Paul argues from history, justification by faith. So we need to know this doctrine, and we need to not be ignorant of history, because history teaches us a lot of lessons. And Paul, using the Jews on scriptures, demonstrates to the Jews that Abraham, being uncircumcised, was justified by faith. Abraham, not being under the Mosaic law, was justified not by law, but by faith. Abraham was promised his descendants to be a father of many nations. Many nations would include the Gentiles, and that includes us. We were included in that promise, that we might be justified by faith, just like Abraham. And when we believe that, Abraham, in a spiritual sense, is our spiritual father. We're walking in the same footsteps of spiritual father Abraham. Father, we come before You as our Heavenly Father. We not only have Abraham as our father, those of us who have believed in Your Son, Jesus Christ, but we also have Abraham as our father as we follow his example of faith, faith alone in the promises of God. And we believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that He is the Son of God. We believe that He came and died on the cross for our sins. We believe that You quickened the dead. You rose Him. You resurrected Him from the dead. We believe that, Father. We believe that is the sole basis of our righteousness. We believe in imputed righteousness. We believe that You will not ever impute sin to our account anymore, because that sin was imputed to Your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we believe all these things, help us to believe in the integrity of Your character and also the faithfulness of Your Word, as the just ones shall live by faith. Help us to develop a lifestyle of faith as well as Abraham did, who lived by faith. Not only was justified by faith, but lived by faith. Father, help us to comprehend these things and the great significance of this great doctrine. And I pray that You might bless our souls and encourage us through this word tonight. We thank You for these things. In Christ's name, amen.